Good morning, everyone. Thank you, John and Calvin and your wives. My heart was moved. I'm sure yours was too. My heart was touched. We have so much. We are so blessed. Are we spoiled or what? We are. Why do we have so much and they have so little? So my heart was moved. And so what does that mean to you and I? We've seen that. I think one thing I can take away from this is we need to be about our Father's business. We need to lay aside our agendas, our pleasures, for people who need the gospel, who need to hear. We can't all go to Greece. Can't all go to Tanzania. But there's people that need the Lord right in our neighborhoods, in our families, at our doorsteps. So that, I've been very challenged. Yeah. Let's stand for prayer and just invite the Lord to bless our time as we share here. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for being so good to us, Lord. We have so much. We are so blessed. And with all these blessings, Lord, comes this tremendous responsibility. We have a privilege. We have a responsibility. To whom much is given, much will be required. So, Lord, you've given to us much. So, Lord, help us to make full use and of the opportunities that we have here in this free land. Lord, we invite you here this morning as we continue to worship and share and look into the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your Word. Father, may it come alive to each of us. Lord, we want to grow in our lives, in our Christian lives. We want to become more like you in many areas. Lord, we're not satisfied where we are. We want to grow. We want to be an encouragement. We want to exhort each other, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So, Father, be in our service. Would you anoint the word to our hearts this morning? I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'm going to continue our study from the book of James. And it seems kind of out of, I don't know how this is going to flow with what we just heard, but we'll trust the Lord for that. You may turn to the book of James, again, chapter 3. The last time I preached, we talked about faith and works. We talked about that our faith is proven. We prove our faith by our works. A faith that is without works is dead. So our works is a result of our faith. Yes, we are saved by grace. We're not saved by our works. But a person that is saved has works. I believe that is scriptural. A person without Christ cannot work his way into heaven. It's by grace that we're saved. But after we repent and we believe the gospel and we have this new heart, this new nature, this new purpose in our lives, that definitely affects our works. It affects what we do. It affects our aims and our goals in life. Well, this morning we want to talk about our speech. Our tongue. James chapter 3, verses 1 to, what is it, 1? Yeah, 1 to 11, I believe. Oh. Testing. Yep, I'm on. Yeah. So, it talks about our tongue. You know, our speech, the Bible and Jesus puts a our speech is very important to God. What we say is important. Many, 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 many places in the Bible talks about our tongue, our speech, what we say. So it is important to God what we say. Matthew 12, verse 36 says, I'm paraphrasing it, on the judgment day, people, you and I, will give an account for every idle word. And that word idle there means careless. Every careless word that you and I say, we are going to have to give an account. So what we say is really important. And this is Jesus talking, and he says, by your words, you will be justified, or by your words, you will be condemned. So it is serious, isn't it? What we say, what comes out of our mouth. Jesus said, it's not what goes in a man's mouth that defiles him, but that which comes out of our mouth. What we say defiles us, or it can also defile other people. So what we say, the words that come out of our mouth, are really important. And may I say that our speech, you look at a person's speech, look at your own speech. I would say that what the words that you and I say over our lifetime, say the last week or the last year, is an index. It's like a table of contents to a book. It shows what's inside. When we want to know what's inside a book, we go at the very front of the book, and there's a table of contents there. What is inside? Our words are a table of contents. It's like a window peeping into a room, and we can see what's inside. So what we say is what is in our heart. Amen? Is that true? Is that an accurate statement? Amen. Our words reflect what is inside us. And Jesus goes on to say in Luke 6, 43 to 45, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but he's basically saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, a good tree produces good fruit. Oh, I wanted to say this. When we study the Bible, someone has said you should ask three questions. First one is, what does this verse or what does this portion of Scripture mean? Second is, what does it say first? Then, what does it mean? And lastly, what does it mean for me? So here, Jesus is talking about that a good tree brings forth good fruit. And a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. That's a given. A bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. That's how it is. So what does it say? It talks about the tree, but the lesson is not about trees, it's about our heart. So what does this mean? It means that if a man has a bad heart, bad things are going to come out of it, right? Maybe some good can come out of it sometimes. But basically, bad things will come out. If the man has a good heart, good things will come out of that person. We see that. We see that in the workplace. We see that with people we work with, we go to church with, our neighbors. We can tell if a person has a good heart by the things that he says. People with a good heart are full of the joy of the Lord. They talk about God. Their life is a blessing. They speak blessings. They speak the truth. We know that. Bad people. And by the way, they have a good song too. And working on the job site years ago, bad people use bad language. They are coarse. It's defiling. Their music is defiling because it's what's in their heart. So what is in our heart comes out. Is that true? Amen. So what does that mean to me? So each one of us, and I want each one of us to evaluate our own lives. And this message is for Earl Fox. I'm not preaching to you. I just expound the Word of God. And amen. Lord convicted me as I was studying this. Am I even qualified to preach this message? Because the standard is so high. What we say and what's in our heart is a reflection. It's definitely going to come out. This James chapter 3, the whole book, was written to who? Who was this written to? Was it wicked people or was it, who was it? It was written to the Christian Jews, right? It was written to the Christians, the early church. James is one of the earliest books in the New Testament written. So this book was written to Christians. Now, do Christians struggle with their speech? Yeah, I think I do. Maybe you don't. But I do at times. I say some things that I wish I wouldn't have said that I know are not pleasing to God. So, yeah, Christians do struggle. Does conversion automatically take care of this problem with our speech? Well, conversion is very important, and we certainly can have good speech without having a new heart. But we still have to face the issue of my speech. We can never let our guards down. We, all of us, need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. We need to think before we speak. Is this pleasing to God? Do we have the potential to sin with our lips? Absolutely. Do we ever come to the place in our Christian lives where we can relax and we have arrived in this? I don't think so. I think it's a continual thing, a continual battle between the world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh, in this case, I believe, our speech, our heart, what comes out of us. Yeah, let me remind us that there is a potential for the old man. The old man, each of us has this nature. The old man has the potential to raise his ugly head. We need to render the old man dead. We need to mortify. We need to put to death the old man and render him dead. Our old man is not eradicated when we get born again. We always constantly have to deal with him. We can never lay our armor down. Like the hymn writer says, "My soul be on thy guard, 10,000 hosts arise." The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. And this area of our speech is very important because it can make us and break us. You know, we all have varying backgrounds. Each of us has a story. Each of us has our own experience in our life. We each have our childhood that we grew up with. You know, I didn't choose my parents. I didn't choose my family. I didn't choose the country I was born in. I didn't choose the church I was born in. I'm just saying that every one of us has a different experience. And they're alike in many ways. But each of us has an experience. Each of us has things to deal with in our lives that affect our speech. I'm getting to that. These life experiences shape and mold us into what we are today. The experiences that I grew up with, that you grew up with, whether they be good or bad. Yes, if they were good, amen. But experiences that were less than good, the Christian has to deal with them in his heart. And I'm going somewhere with this. It is related. We have to reckon with our past. Some of us come from a good home, a good environment. We were loved. We were accepted. We were cared for, we were protected, we were taught in the ways of God. We felt like we belonged, and that's an important thing, like we belong to this family, we belong to, yeah, our family, our church family, whatever. All these needs that we have in our life. But some of us were born in bad or less than good situations. I know there's people that come from terrible homes, and my wife Lois is reading a book right now about a girl who come from a terrible home, and she had to work through things in her life that I didn't have to face, because I came from a basically good home. No, it wasn't perfect, but this girl in particular came from a terrible situation. She was neglected, rejected, violated, wronged. Maybe some of you come through from a home like that. I don't know your home life. I don't know what struggles you're facing. But I'm just suggesting that we need to deal with our past feelings. If you have been hurt as a young child, or even as a teenager or an adult, we need to face those needs. We need to face those situations. But let me be quick to say, if you were born in a situation that was less than ideal, there is hope for you. There is a way that you can work through those things, that you can face them, and that you can bring those broken pieces, you can bring those hurts, which may even, yes, develop into issues of bitterness and anger and just turmoil, frustration, and you can bring them to the cross, and there you can find healing. I praise God for that. So regardless, if you had a horrible background, a horrible situation, praise God, there is healing, and it's at the cross. So if you've been hurt, if you've been wronged, and your heart is hurting, I invite you to come to Jesus and bring those things to Him. Bring the broken pieces and place them at the Savior's feet. I challenge you to do that. And we all had to do that. I'm sure we've all been hurt at times, but we can't allow those things to fester in our hearts. We can't have a pure heart. We can't have a clean heart. We can't be at rest. We can't be at peace with ourselves or with God if we have this turmoil in us. If we don't have a clean heart, we won't have a good speech. That's the point I'm getting at. It is our choice. It is your and my choice to have a heart that is at rest with ourselves and with God and with others. I know this family. I grew up with them. The dad was, he was mean, he was harsh, he was angry, he was contrary, just right down ungodly. He was mean-spirited, he just worked against, his wife suffered, his children suffered. And fairly large family, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 children. And some of you would know him. Anyway, the one young man chose to forgive his dad, to take the broken pieces, to take his broken heart, to take that crushing feeling of being rejected and all that goes with that, seeing his mom being mistreated and just living under that influence all, you know, from childhood on up till he got married. But he said, I made a conscious choice to deal with that. And I'm not sure, I'm not going to go into the extent how he came to healing, but he did. And he married, has a beautiful family, his children are doing well, a teenage daughter, I think one of them is married now. The other brother got married too and had some children, but he was like his dad. I'm so sorry. He didn't deal with his past, so bitter things started coming out of his heart, out of his mouth. and it hurt his wife, it hurt his children, and there was anger there, there was frustration, all because he didn't face his need, and it affected his life, it affected his speech. So we can't have good speech and have a bad heart, we know that. Our heart affects our speech. If we have a good heart, the words that come out of our mouth will be good and edifying and blessing. If our heart is struggling and we hadn't dealt with our past, and there's bitterness there, there is frustration, and we have not taken that hurt. We had not taken, I'll call it sin. We had not taken that to the cross. That will affect us. It'll affect our life. It'll affect our relationships. This is my point, and I've said it. We have to deal with the heart issues in order to be free in Christ. Unresolved issues will not go away. They will affect our thoughts, attitudes, and ultimately our speech. Sow a thought, reap an attitude. Sow an attitude, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a destination. And here's another one. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Isn't that true? So my point is, we're talking about speech. We're talking about having speech that edifies, that is seasoned with salt. But first of all, we need a clean heart. We need a heart that is pure. We need a heart that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. We need to deal with those issues. And maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe you had a good home and you're just hunky-dory, and the words are coming out. But I have a hunch everybody has to deal with these things. So pure speech begins with a heart that is set free, that is pure, that is at rest with itself, with other people, and with God. Only then can we truly be at peace with God. We can only truly be at peace with ourselves if we are at peace with our Maker. Only then can we have a clean heart. Only then can we be filled with love and grace and blessings because our heart is at rest. In order for our speech to be right, our heart must be right. And I said that. Now we're going to turn to James. I'm just going to go through these verses. James 3. Beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read 1 to 12. I'll just take one verse at a time here. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. I believe saying that in my own words is, those of us who teach, those of us who are our teachers, our leaders, have a higher standard that is required of us. And we can say, oh yeah, that applies to the ministers. We're teachers, and we need to give we're going to held to a stricter standard. And amen, that's right. But in one sense, moms and dads, you too are teachers. So you too are held to a standard, the God's standard of righteousness in the way you communicate and what comes out of your mouth. Because you are affecting your children very directly. Your influence is powerful in their lives. What you say with your mouth, what you teach, either positively or negatively, will have tremendous influence in their lives. It will chart their course. It could make them a blessing, and it could just launch them into the world being a blessing, and a testimony for the Lord Jesus and being effective for Him, being confident in the Lord, or it can make them struggle with who they are and feelings of condemnation and I'm not going to make it and I'll never amount to anything. Our tongue, folks, especially moms and dads, is really important. Please take this to heart. And I know we realize this. I trust this is our heart. We want to be a blessing and encouragement to our children. Yeah, every one of us, I believe, in this room that are older, maybe all of us, we have some influence on others. Our words are of utmost importance. Verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. In many things we offend all. Paraphrasing that, we all goof up with what we say at times. Is there a person here that has never said anything they wish they wouldn't have said or that was inappropriate or was maybe hurtful? Or I don't think there's any of us here. So we do flub up sometimes. We goof. But if we don't, he says, the same as a perfect man. Now, amen. When we do make a mistake, praise God, there is forgiveness. Praise God, we can make things right. We can go back to that person and say, I'm sorry. But, yeah, it is really important. Let's not allow Satan to discourage us when we goof. Maybe we're so proud that we don't want to go and make that right. We had a right to. We feel sometimes we have the right to get angrier. We have the right to be sharp or harsh because of what that person did or because of the disobedience. No, we don't have that right. All right, going to verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Well, I remember growing up, we had a pony, we had horses growing up when I was 10, 12, 15 years old. Of course, we rode these horses, and we had it's one horse that was pretty high strung. Neighbor man said, you need a jawbreaker bit in their mouth. It was a special bit that when you pull back the reins, I can't explain it, but it hurt the horse's mouth. It hurt him when you pulled back. And to get the horse's attention. And, we're not horses. But he's using this as an example here about having an outside force guiding them and telling them which way to turn and so forth. We can turn their whole body. And also verse 4 talks about the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whither the governor listeth. Both these things, the bit and the rudder of a ship, are very small in comparison to the horse or the ship. A rudder is a very small thing under the ship that turns that ship. Even though it's small, it has tremendous power, and the bridle does too of a horse. We can make that horse go anywhere, basically, where it's physically possible. It's small. The ships are large and have a small rudder. It controls the whole ship, even in a storm. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of our body, yet it is very powerful. We all know that. Very powerful. All of us can remember a time. I'll use it in the positive first. A person that spoke blessing to you. The tongue is small. But a person, maybe in your childhood, maybe in your youth, or even as an adult, and you needed encouragement, and someone spoke a blessing in your life. Someone said something to you that was that really meant a lot to you and just motivated you to keep on in the Christian life. We all know that. That's powerful. Even the tongue is small. It was very powerful. Very powerful. And I can remember one illustration of my life. I was about 8, 10. Of course, I love singing. And my older brothers sang in the men's chorus there in our community. And, of course, I loved singing. And I secretly would have really loved to help with that group someday. And I remember the director of that group. It was the Cheerful Anthems. It was a Mennonite men in the community and a group of men and singing. And my cousin was the director. And anyway, he said to me, I still remember, it was in our living room at home. He said, "Earl, someday you're going to help with this chorus." And wow, because I was really aspiring to it. You know, I loved to hear them sing. I could feel goosebumps when they sang, you know. "We'll be there, praise the Lord, we'll all be there." You know that song, "When the Ransom Get Home," you know, "Praise the Lord, we'll all be there." And I just thrilled with that. Even before I was converted, I just loved that. And he said, "Well, someday you can, and maybe you will even lead the chorus." He said, wow. I just never forgot that. It was encouraging to me. It was just, yeah, it was something so small. And yet it was a blessing that really meant a lot to me. I can remember times when someone really hurt me as a child. I never forgot that. Belittled me, shamed me, no fault of my own. I also remembered that. Yeah. Someone said, and I think this is very true, listen, "They may not remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel." Isn't that true? Yeah. "You might not remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel." And our words are powerful. They are so powerful. Our speech has far-reaching effects. We can launch our children into blessing and service, or we can bog them down and have them struggle for the rest of their lives unless they would face it. The tongue is a fire. It says in verse 6, and a fire out of control is dangerous, folks. It burns whole forests and acres and thousands of acres. It burns big buildings down. The fire is dangerous when it's out of control. It sets the course of one's life on fire. And I ask the question to myself, and I ask you, what trail are you leaving in your life? Are you leaving a trail of blessing? Are you leaving a trail of encouragement and exhortation and love and blessing? Or are you leaving a trail of hurt and bitterness and discouragement? We can do that with our tongue, and we have a choice. Verse 7 and 8, "All kinds of animals can be tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue." Yeah, I remember as a young boy, my dad took us to the zoo in Ephrata along Parkview Heights Road. There was this man, he had this zoo in his backyard as a hobby. He had bear, he had lion and monkeys and just little things. And I remember dad taking him there. And this man would love, if it's his hobby, like I said, I think it was just by donation, you could go there and look at these animals. And he'd go into the lion, right into this male lion. And that he would make that male lion open its mouth wide. And he would stick his arm, his elbow in the lion's mouth. And for $100, he'd stick his head in there. Really. Swigert was a man's name. I forget his first name. Well, he had that lion tamed and he learned to trust it. Oh. Wild animals can be tamed, but folks, our tongue, it says, cannot be tamed. Well, I believe comparing Scripture with Scripture, amen, our tongues can be tamed, can't they? They can be tamed by the Lord Jesus. Yeah, when we have a new heart, when we dealt with our past, when we dealt with the sin in our life, the bitterness, our tongues, praise God, can be tamed or changed. Verse 9, with the same tongue we bless God, and with it we curse human beings who are made in God's image. Folks, I trust that is not true of any one of us here this morning. We bless God, and then we curse our fellow man. God help us. May that never happen. And if it does, yeah, there is a way. There is a way to get freedom from that. There is a way to get clear of that. Of course, that is in repentance and confession. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. This should not be. Again, he's talking to Christian people here. Apparently, this is a problem in their community, in the Christian community. People were pretending they're godly and praising the Lord, at the same time cursing their fellow man, maybe cursing their family, their wife, or their children, or the neighbor, or whoever. This should not be, the Bible says. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Absolutely not. Can good things and bad things come out of the same heart? No, it's probably one or the other. Amen. We do make mistakes sometimes, and sometimes we have a pure heart, and we inadvertently sometimes mess up. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't believe that we are perfect and never will be perfect in our Christian lives in the way of speech, but that should be our desire, and we should make no provision for the flesh. We should not make any excuses for myself or yourself. Can a fig tree bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Amen. I think that's clear in our minds. That's very clear. So what does it say? It talks about the spring. What does it mean? It means that good and bad things should not come out of the same heart, and does not come out of the same heart, out of the child of God. What does it mean to me? I need to make sure that my heart is clear. I need to make sure that my heart, what comes out of my heart, what comes out of my mouth, is pleasing and upbuilding. See, I had a scripture here somewhere. Yeah, I'll get to that. Okay. I just want to talk about slander a little bit. This is right where we live, isn't it? Have you ever been slandered? Slander means to intentionally make a false statement to damage a person's reputation. Or maybe even unintentionally. Sometimes we talk about people, and if we're not careful, we can get in the habit of talking about people. It's kind of fun. It's kind of the way to boost your own righteousness a little. Inadvertently, I mean, if we really want to be, you know, why do I talk about people? Why do I talk about the bad things about people? Isn't it sometimes my own pride trying to lift myself up? I think we need to be careful in this, folks. May it never be said of us at Joy Christian Fellowship that we do slander, that we're slandering other people, if we're talking negatively. You know, if we're not part of the solution, yeah. We need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And when we talk about people, we often increase the problem. It doesn't help the person in need. And maybe, yes, maybe that person is needy. Maybe he did goof up. Maybe he is a mess. But let's really be careful by the mode in which we share. Slander is not right. That's cursing. I can say that is not pleasing to God. And we know this. But I'm challenging it. I'm just lifting up the scripture. Amen? Gossip, talking about people behind their back, involving details that are not confirmed to be true. They go, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, and a rumor can get started. And pretty soon, you know, the rumor gets out. And this person hears about it. And there's hurt. And there's heartache. And it just becomes a mess. Folks, Lord, help us. In these areas, this is right down to where we live. May our speech be not that way. Talking about gossip and slander. Then I'm moving to Proverbs 6:16-19. And we all know this. There are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, 7. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil plans, feet that make haste to do evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates that. He specifically pointed that one out. He hates when we sow discord, and I trust we will never be involved in that. Tearing another brother down, talking evil of another person, sowing discord, getting this mob spirit God help us. And may it not be once named among us that we sow discord. Then in closing, just a few scriptures. And amen. Let's allow the scriptures to speak to us. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Our talk should be gracious, full of grace, full of love. Amen. Sometimes it's in order to rebuke a person, but we need to do it in love. We need to speak the truth in love. But our speech needs to be seasoned with salt. Salt is healing. Salt is a preservative. It might burn a little in a wound, but it's healing. You know, being honest with a person, sharing with a person in love, maybe some of his needs. You know, iron sharpens iron. There's a place for that. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk or communication come out of your mouth, but that which builds each other up, so as to be a blessing to others. Folks, that's what we want. That's our heart, isn't it? Amen? That's what we want at our church. That's what we want in our homes. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, Proverbs 16:24. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And then I just love this Psalms 16:3, and it's a prayer. David is saying this, and I trust this is our prayer, and may this be your prayer also. It says, David says, set a seal or a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Yeah, amen. We need the grace of God. We need the help of God. We need to become open and honest before God in these areas. Lord, how am I doing? Please set a seal, a guard over my mouth. Watch, keep a watch over the door of my lips. Lord, I don't want to say anything that is not pleasing to you. And then in closing, Psalms 19:24. Let the words of my mouth, what comes out of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart. You know, if we're going to have a right words coming out of our mouth, we're going to have to be thinking the right thing. And the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I just say, God bless each of you. I know this is your heart. I lifted up the standard of God's word this morning. Let's apply it to our heart and life. If the shoe fits, wear it. And let's allow God to make us more sensitive in these areas. Amen? More sensitive in these areas of our speech. Because it is powerful. It is indication of who we are and what is the condition of our heart. Evaluate your own words and it will reveal what's in your heart. So may the Lord bless you as you strive to put into practice what we've heard this morning. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Earl, for lifting up the Word of God this morning. And when John and Calvin were sharing, who was delighted to hear the testimony of a man's countenance changing? Wasn't that inspiring? How that, you know, it seemed like he was heavy, but over a week of time, it seemed like life started working in there. And that's so beautiful. Aren't we so glad that the gospel can work in our lives? You know, and that's what the message is here this morning. If you found yourself and you found your tongue not being blessing, look to the same cross, the same gospel that changed that man's life. You know, that's the beauty of being a Christian. We get to be transformed. I was thinking of, you said, no man can tame the tongue, and that's probably true. You can try with all your might, and you'll probably never change it. But the Spirit of God, you let the Spirit of God come in, He'll change your heart, you're born again, and there's new things that come out. Behold, all things become new. That's the gospel. Romans 6, it says, can't quite find the verse I was thinking. 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You want to name yourself a Christian? Yield yourself as an instrument of God. Yield your member as an instrument of God. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Are you going to be a God representative? Anyway, bless God. Is there anybody that would have anything to add, share? Yes, Lyndon?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank and bless those that helped out with the container this week. Really appreciated that, and also the blessing to work together like that on something builds brotherhood.
Man, thank you for serving God's kingdom. Oh, that we would continue to exercise our gifting among ourselves to build each other up, to help out. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Lars?
Yeah, I do appreciate the message on the tongue. I remember, for many years already, over a course of years, I would meet, a man that I didn't really know, but he was a member of a church and maybe even a plainly dressed man, and getting into a conversation with him and but then there would be language he would use some extra language, maybe even some barnyard language, you know, that kind of took me back, and I right away always would question. I don't know if he's really a Christian because of the language that he used. So it seems, because I know in my own heart, before I was converted, that was a habit of mine. But when God changed my heart, I no longer used those kind of words. So whenever I experience that coming out from a man that, you know, in every other aspect seems to be a Christian, but then the tongue, but the things that he would say, I can identify that, because that's where I was at. So I do believe it's something that reveals a condition of the heart, just like it says. It does. We cannot tame that thing without a new heart. We cannot do it. It's impossible. I couldn't do it, but I knew I wasn't right. So those words were habits. It was a habit. But God changed your habit overnight once you have a new heart. But when I hear that out of a man that is supposed to be considered to be a Christian, and he uses that kind of language to question right away, maybe it's something God didn't show him yet sometimes in some cases, but if it's a habit, boy, I question it.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I also appreciated the message and also the presentation there. in Greece, I-58. I was thinking, you know, God is preparing His bride. He is coming for His bride. We're going to see the New Jerusalem come, and it's His bride He's coming for. And you know, He's coming for His bride that's all over the world. And what really impressed me with the pictures and what John and Calvin and their wives had to say was, you know, God loves them as much as He loves me. God loves those people that are, you know, been in Islam and all the other religions. They've been fighting with ISIS and all of these things. He loves those people as much as He loves me or you. And He is coming for His bride. He's preparing His bride for that day where He's going to, you know, have a bride that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And also, a couple comments on the message is, you know, when Brother Earl was talking about blessing and cursing and how, you know, he gave an example of someone blessing him about leading the choir or leading the chorus, and then also the negative one there. You know, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, in my childhood, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and my parents fought a lot, and same with my wife, her family. And you know, I don't ever remember getting a blessing in that way, but I remember a lot of the bad things. I think that's how a lot of us are. We might not remember a lot of times the blessings, but we remember the bad things. And maybe there's young people or people in this room. Yeah, you think, you know, I just remember all this. But you know, there is a way that we can come, just like our brother shared. We can come to the Lord and bring all of that hurt and all of that baggage to the Lord, and He can minister in a way that can change our hearts and our lives and give us a new heart and give us a new mouth and I'm certainly not perfect in that area, and I know my tongue is unsanctified at times, and I know that's an area God's working in my life, but I know God has He has a way to change our lives, even no matter where we came from, what kind of home we came from. And then I also had a question. Earl, you had about slander and gossip, and your statement was to make a false statement to damage a person's reputation, and then gossip not confirmed to be true. My question is it okay to talk about things, you know, gossip about things or slander things that are true, even, you know, maybe it is confirmed to be true or whatever. I just, you know, I thought, I just kind of wondered in that.
Well, it actually went through my mind this week, you know, yeah, we say things that are true, but is our heart full of love? I had to wonder that, you know. Yes, we say things that are true, but is it seasoned with grace like the Lord Jesus? Is it full of love and compassion and care? Or is it, you know, so may God help us. Oh, that we would come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you're facing, come to Him. The one that will speak words of truth and love with grace and hard things. If you heard hard things, come to Him. There's grace. He died on the cross. Respond to the gospel. That's what it is. Not a religion. It's responding to God. Amen.